A police officer injured, a rise in violent attacks on Ambos, and our new government to be sworn in today. It's Thursday, the 8th of June.
The West Live with Matt Tinney and Ben O'Shea.
G'day, Matty.
G'day, mate. Sorry about my voice. It's hanging in there, but I sound like a pack-a-day smoker.
You do. You know, maybe some people like the sound of it. A bit of a husky
voice in the morning.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Anyone wants to email and let us know, feel free. And now let's talk about this shocking incident involving a police officer in Ascot who was run over and dragged by a car.
Yeah, this police officer has been critically injured, is fighting for life right now in Royal Perth Hospital. This all came after a police chase, and police noticed this vehicle with stolen plates. They say there were three people inside the vehicle. They stopped that vehicle and went over to the car, we're told, and at that point, the car took off. The police officer has ended up being dragged by the car underneath the car pinned underneath and has been critically injured in this. The officer had to receive CPR from their colleagues just to stay alive. They've been taken to Royal Perth Hospital. Like I say, they're in a critical condition right now. Police are investigating the circumstances of this. Obviously, there are different layers of investigation when a police officer is injured in the line of duty as well.
Yeah, exactly. And three people have been arrested in connection to that. So we'll wait and see. No doubt more information will become available later today. We're also getting information about what WA paramedics are facing in the line of duty. We know cops are in the firing line, but AMBOs are too. And it's got to the point now where St John is going to trial slash-proof clothing and body-worn cameras in a bid to protect them, as the West Australian has revealed new data on just how common this is becoming. So they're facing acts of aggression at an average rate of more than five times a week in WA. And it comes as the number of locations red flagged as danger zones. So that's where an AMBO has to have a police escort on a triple O call. So those locations have increased by 14%, or it's gone up 200 locations since 2018, now to 1,625 locations. And in the last financial year, paramedics and AMBOs were subjected to 270 acts of violence or aggression, 56 resulting in injury. Already this financial year, there have been 215 violent incidents and 54 paramedics have suffered injuries. And that number is expected to rise to meet where it's been at previous years. And so the latest act of violence occurred in Balladura in the early hours of Sunday morning. An ambulance crew were responding to a call for help. And then a teenager has allegedly confronted them, punched the windscreen of the ambulance. The damage is so bad that that ambulance had to be towed from the scene, still off the road. And then, speaking in the West today, Lee Mack, who is a paramedic for 25 years, said that in her time on the job, she had knives pulled on her. She'd been punched, bitten, spat on, and kicked so hard while treating a patient that her hip was dislocated. Can you imagine? When you're just trying to help save lives, like the police, you know, arresting people in dangerous situations, AMBOs, like, what are they doing? They're not doing anything. They're just trying to help.
I don't understand this whatsoever. There should be alarm bells ringing when we need our paramedics to be trialing slash-proof clothing and body-worn cameras.
Yeah, big time.
These are people trying to save people's lives, help people in need. Why the hell are they being subjected to violence?
Yeah, I know. Guess what? It's another job for our new Premier. The 31st Premier, Roger Cook, will be sworn in today. What can you tell us about that?
Well, it's going to happen at Government House at 9:30 this morning. He'll be sworn in as Premier, Rita Saffiotti as Deputy, and the Cabinet Ministers will be sworn in. Obviously, we found out yesterday who gets what. It was all revealed. Perhaps the most talked about portfolio allocation has been Rita Saffiotti getting Treasurer and keeping Transport and also getting Tourism.
Yeah, that's an odd one, right?
It's odd.
It doesn't
fit.
One of those things is not like the other.
I'm going to put on my political scientist hat on for a second. And I think what this is about is Metronet, you know, it's going to be built, but it is over budget. And we know that, you know, supplies cost more, labour costs more now. And then you've got Treasury, which is not really the sexiest of portfolios. Tourism, though, is a sexy portfolio. You know, you can be swimming with whale sharks. You can be up at El Questro. You can be all over the state. And so I think politically she's gone, you know what? I need something that's going to be good pictures, that's not going to be controversial, that's going to be happy news, and that's
it. Here's the thing though, right? So when you're tourism minister, you do a lot of travel, right? So since Roger Cook took it on, not only travelling around WA, travelling around the world, like going to various countries, trying to kick off things.
Trying to get flights.
Trying to do deals.
Yeah.
I just don't know how a treasurer and transport minister has the time to go to China and negotiate a deal with Chengdu Airlines.
Yeah. What I think, you know, aside from obviously the political motivations, is I think Rita Saffioti's gone, I've been in transport, I know the people I work with in there, I trust them, they can run this, they can get this Metronet done, I don't really need to put in too much, and I can focus on treasury and then tourism and travel around.
Well, we'll see how she goes. Certainly very ambitious.
You know what, though? If anyone can juggle stuff, it's a mum. Mums know how to juggle. Yeah, you know, us dads, we're like one at a time people.
Exactly.
You know,
we're not multitaskers.
It's a generic statement, but we're not multitaskers. But mums can have all the plates spinning in the air and somehow make them land
perfectly.
And if
anyone can, it's Rita Saffioti.
Yeah,
she's very, very accomplished political performer. And now, yesterday we spoke about this tragic death of a 3-year-old boy who died after contracting influenza A, and now his parents have put aside what you can only think is their unimaginable grief to make an emotional plea to other families.
Yeah, the parents of 3-year-old Muhammad are urging parents to get their kids vaccinated, saying it's not too late, go and do it. Their son obviously died suddenly from the flu. It all started with this wheeziness and developed from there. He went into cardiac arrest. The family, in this tragic twist, had delayed their flu vaccinations this year. And so their message is don't delay. You know, if you've got something on, everyone's always got something on, don't we? But it is so important. And, you know, imagine those parents having to live with that now. Just, you can imagine thinking every day, if only we'd gone.
Yeah, you know. I know. It's just absolutely heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Heartbreak also for the Geraldton family, whose 13-year-old son died this week after sustaining those horrific injuries in a Gero house fire. They've spoken for the first time.
Yeah. Melissa and Matthew Mongu have spoken of their pain after losing their son. Their older son is still in a critical condition, fighting for life in hospital. And, you know, you have to feel for him. Hopefully he makes it through, but making it through and his brother is not there. Just tragic. So they are asking for help from the public to rebuild their lives. The house is going to be demolished. They're also pleading for people to not speculate about the cause of the fire. The cause is still a mystery, but there has been a lot said, a lot of speculation, and it's not really helpful for them at a very, very low point in their lives.
Yeah. It's just so tough indeed. And now, a 22-year-old Xavier Dua has had his dreams of sailing unassisted around Australia dashed.
I know. He's arrived back in Fremantle after being smashed by these storms off WA. He had this world record dream in sights. And, you know, now he's had to let that go because his yacht was badly damaged. His dream was to become the fastest person to sail unassisted, nonstop around Australia. Mm. So it's his second attempt. He's from the Gold Coast. He was more than halfway through the journey, but a little bit of a silver lining. I'm a glass half full kind of guy.
Yeah.
If his yacht can be repaired, he can continue. And if he completes it, it would make him the youngest solo sailor to circumnavigate Australia in the smallest boat.
Oh, that's better.
I mean, I know it's a long stretch to get a record. We're having to put a few sort of clauses there. You know, the youngest circumnavigating smallest boat, but there you go.
You think the record would be held by like a, you know, some one of those maxi yachts or something, those racing yachts?
Well, not the smallest boat one, anyway. The fastest solo.
It's a category.
I suppose when you're solo and unassisted, you can't have a massive yacht, can you?
That's true.
It was nice. His mum flew over from over east to meet him over here.
Oh, yeah. So he's getting repairs done.
Getting repairs done at Freo.
Yeah. Well, good luck. Oh, I hope he enjoys
that. Yeah, and well done to the rescue crew as well that have managed to get him back here safely.
Can you imagine being out in the ocean, the wild storm?
He said by yourself. He guessed like the swell was like 10, 11 metres. I mean, that is scary.
Yeah.
I mean, it was scary enough me looking out on my balcony. you know, at the rain. Imagine this poor bloke.
When you were locked out by your
yeah,
kids.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. It was pretty scary for any neighbours who saw you out there in your jocks. Former US President Mike Pence has had a red-hot crack at his old mate Donald Trump during a speech launching his 2024 presidential campaign. So Pence formally commenced his White House campaign overnight. He was in Iowa, and he argued that Trump had encouraged the mob that attacked the US Capitol on January 6, 2021, and had incorrectly asserted that Mr. Pence had the power to overturn the election result. So he said, the American people deserve to know what happened on that day. President Trump demanded that I choose between him and the Constitution. Now voters will be faced with the same choice. I choose the Constitution, and I always will. And he added that Trump's action on January 6th should disqualify him from returning to power. He said, I believe that anyone who puts themselves over the Constitution should never be president of the United States. Pretty strong words.
You know, if people are stupid enough to vote him back in after what we know now, everything that's gone on, the lawsuits, what he's said since, I mean, if that's what they want.
You can't help him, right?
You can't help him.
So Pence has rocked up on a Harley Davidson with a couple of hundred bikers.
Sounds like something Paul Papaleo would do.
But the problem is his speech was, as opposed to the excitement of the Harley Davidson convoy, actually quite boring, according to analysts over there.
Why he needed the bikes.
Yeah, and even though everybody knows his name, he's not doing that well in the polls. According to a Reuters Ipsos survey released last month, Pence is tracking at 5%. Yeah. Of the vote, Trump, 44%.
Yeah, okay. So the thing about Trump is he's very good at sort of creating the moment the razzle-dazzle, you know?
Yeah, and politics is very boring.
Exactly.
And so you need to a lot of people who don't follow it very closely, especially the Conservatives, he probably seems like a good option.
Sport.
Bad news about Nick Natanui, for Eagles fans, although it's not really news. We haven't seen him all year, but now the club has confirmed he is Gonski for the entire 2023 season after being diagnosed with an Achilles issue that's going to require surgery.
And now his playing future's in doubt.
Oh, big time. So his career is hanging by a thread. He was still playing very well in 2020 and 2021. He won back-to-back John Worsfold medals. And the Eagles gave him a two-year extension that'll take him through to the end of 2024. A lot of people didn't think that was such a good idea, and he's only played 8 games since then. He'll be 34 early next year. He's played 213 games. Well, the last game he ever played for the Eagles be round 22, the Western Derby last year. I don't know. I have to say, probably likely, I think.
I mean, Adam Simpson says, look, we're hoping to guide him through rehab. And I mean, it's what Adam Simpson has to
he's
say.
He's got to stay
I
positive. Mean, and they're still on the hook for his salary. So
yeah, that's true.
So they've got to get something out of him. Poor old Nick Nat.
The Wild West.
I've got a great animal story for you.
Oh, yes.
So, in Costa Rica, at a zoo there...
Costa Rica.
There has been the first recorded case of a crocodile who made herself pregnant without...
What?
Without... Any
without a
involvement
man.
Of a male crocodile.
Sorry, not a man.
So,
well, that would be wrong. Sorry. You know what I meant.
Without a male crocodile.
You know what I meant.
So
yes.
She produced a fetus, according to scientists.
Well, on her own?
On her own. It was 99.9% genetically identical to herself. It was stillborn. Unfortunately, the fetus in the egg was stillborn, but that's beside the point.
So crocodiles can do this?
Never before seen.
This
so-called virgin birth, there you go, religious undertones, has been found in species of birds, fish and other reptiles, but never before in crocodiles. And the scientists say the trait may be inherited from an evolutionary ancestor, so dinosaurs might also have been capable of self-reproduction.
Hang on, is there a chance a male crocodile got in? Is
no,
there any chance?
Well,
just putting it out there, is there any chance?
Costa Rica is a bit of a party country.
I know, it's a bit wild.
No, apparently no. So maybe now dinosaurs might also have been capable of it.
I'm going to Google about this today. This is fascinating.
Where have we heard that before about dinosaurs?
I'm simply saying that life finds a way.
Yes, it does indeed. And that's your news from the West Australian for Thursday, June 8. And don't forget to subscribe to The West Live on your favourite podcast player. Matty, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Mate, you've outdone yourself with that one. Have a good one.
You've been listening to The West Live with Matt Tinney and Ben O'Shea.